Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. First responders undergo enormous stress on their jobs. They run into burning buildings. They pull people from mangled cars and respond to mass shootings. They help people overdosing on drugs. Many struggle at times with depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and thoughts of suicide. It can also be difficult to acknowledge the need for help to colleagues. Today, I talk with Dr. Joanne Katzman. She's medical director and senior associate director with ECHO Institute at the University of New Mexico. ECHO has used its telemedicine program successfully in a number of ways, including treating hepatitis C and helping providers in rural areas learn to administer things like buprenorphine. It brings together experts to mentor colleagues remotely. ECHO is now applying this model to help first responders around the state by connecting them with experts and one another to have conversations about mental health, chronic pain, and self-care. Also joining us is paramedic Lieutenant Brian Breezewine of the Albuquerque Fire Department, who participates in the ECHO telemedicine meetings. Dr. Katzman, why did you want to start this particular iteration of the ECHO model?
My first notion of starting the first responder ECHO in New Mexico really began because of my knowledge of the opiate crisis in New Mexico, knowing that really 130 Americans die every day of unintentional opiate overdose deaths, and first responders really are on the front lines of taking care of patients dying of unintentional opiate overdose deaths, whether it's prescriptions or intravenous heroin or illicit fentanyl deaths, and also the combination of the stress that paramedics, firefighters, and law enforcement are undergoing kind of across the country, the growing kind of knowledge of PTSD and trauma. That combined with the opiate crisis, I thought there would be a lot that Project ECHO could do in terms of kind of reaching out to first responders across the state and helping to train them and also providing some education regarding self-care.
And Lieutenant Breezewine, you're a paramedic with Albuquerque Fire Rescue. What are some of the challenges facing you and your colleagues in terms of trauma and stress at work?
We're all EMS professionals within the fire department. That's commonly overlooked. You know, people think the fire department, they think of burning buildings, and we run into those. And that is a true story. But the majority of what we do is EMS related. Like myself, I'm a paramedic. Everybody in our department is a minimum of a EMS, EMT training. And with that comes a lot of difficult things to see with the drug epidemic, the heroin or the opiate overdoses. We see a lot of death with that. We see a lot of traumatic events that could be just difficult to process.
And can you give us an idea of what this looks like with the ECHO model?
Project ECHO is a telementoring model where it's a virtual kind of a virtual IT platform where clinicians really train other clinicians or in this instance, in this first responder ECHO, it's a hub team of firefighters, law enforcement, paramedics at the hub team. With myself, I'm a pain physician and psychiatry, as well as an emergency room physician. So kind of a real interprofessional hub team, outward facing to spoke first responders all over the state. Hmm. So they could be firefighters in Albuquerque, law enforcement in Socorro, firefighters in Belen or Raton, paramedics in Taos. So reaching out via the Zoom platform. So it's a telementoring model, and so no patients are ever on the telementoring platform.
What are some of the issues? I know you just launched this last September, so what are some of the issues you're bringing forward?
Some of the better conversations we've had is how firefighters or EMS professionals deal with some of these long-term stresses, PTSD, depression, whatever it might be. And as Dr. Katzman had mentioned earlier, would be some of the self-help tactics. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think from my experience, that's been some of our best conversations, because it's nice hearing from other firefighters, other police officers, other EMS professionals, doctors, everyone involved, that they're kind of going through the same stresses as well. So it's nice hearing you're not alone in that sense, but also hearing that there are many different tactics to deal with it that you might not have thought about.
It is the idea that personally helps someone like you or other people on the call, but they can also take that back to their department or their community.
Yeah. So the division I work in is called the Heart Division. It's a home engagement alternative response team. It's a community EMS division with the Albuquerque Fire Rescue. And what we deal with is we work with individuals that are frequent callers of 911 that need something in more than just the typical 911 response. And, you know, learning some of this stuff about ourselves could then be applied to them, you know, to these patients as well, because they're going through similar stresses, similar traumas, you know, an event happened at some point in their life that maybe led them down a path that has become more difficult for them to recover from. And if we can use those experiences that we've learned, I feel that we can, you know, address those with the patients.
And how has the opioid crisis sort of made things even worse? I'm sure you're seeing horrific things all the time, but how has that exacerbated this?
Yeah, so one example that actually paramedic Lieutenant Breezewine and his colleagues have illustrated is a story that they brought to my attention, a couple of them, if I might share.
Mm-hmm. Please.
A couple stories are through their heart program with the Albuquerque Fire and Rescue is that they will see patients in the community that are frequent callers, if you will, to the 911 system, and a way for them to kind of mitigate or help some of these patients in crisis more effectively and prevent them from needing to go to the emergency room so often or to help them with their medical or psychological needs is that some of the patients are in pain many days of the week. And so they will call on the patients every day for low back pain or headaches. And a lot of them will be requesting opioid analgesics. Some of them will need them for physical pain. Others might have kind of real opioid use disorder. And I think it's amazing what Lieutenant Paramedic Breezewine and his colleagues do in really having to kind of navigate the system, figure out which patients need chronic pain control, which patients need to go to the emergency room for chest pain, which patients really need addiction services. And so what we are trying to do on this first responder echo is really help kind of coordinate care and kind of align all the services. And through some of our sessions, we're able to start to gel some of these services and able to kind of talk to each other and get to know really who is working in the UNM psych emergency services, who's working at the UNM emergency department, the addiction services, and services across the state, because these are really difficult situations. Another situation, Megan, is some of the patients who the paramedics and law enforcement are rescuing on a kind of weekly basis from an unintentional opioid overdose with naloxone that they would otherwise probably not survive. It wouldn't be so traumatic, but the household might be unkept, or there might be kids in the situation, or there might be needles or sharps, evidence of drug paraphernalia or some domestic violence. So it's not so much the situation where they're rescuing someone with an opioid overdose, but that the psychological trauma. And Brian, is that somewhat along the lines of what?
Sure, yeah. When it comes to opiate overdoses, you know, it comes in many different flavors. You have the illicit drugs, you have the prescription drugs, all kind of doing the same thing on the body at, you know, different levels. And some of our individuals that may be frequent callers of 911 have a pain issue that needs to be addressed maybe in a better way. But then some people, they are addicted to the pain meds, the illicit drugs, and whatever it might be. And it's on us from our program. What we do is to try to identify some of those issues and address them. And we just try to utilize all the different resources we have within the community to address some of the needs for these patients.
This is University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. I'm speaking with Dr. Joanne Katzman. She's medical director and senior associate director with Echo Institute at the University of New Mexico. Also joining us is paramedic Lieutenant Brian Breezewine of the Albuquerque Fire Department. We're talking about the TeleEcho program, which aims to support first responders such as firefighters, EMS, medical transport personnel, and law enforcement officers. These frontline folks face trauma and higher rates of PTSD, depression, and thoughts of suicide. The Echo program connects them with experts and colleagues to talk about these issues. What are some of the challenges, Lieutenant Breezewine, in bringing to light the issues that you all face in terms of trauma and stress?
I think as a culture and fire, especially within our own departments and our own unions that govern those departments, we have done a much better job of identifying that as a legitimate issue, right? Something that we might not have thought about as much in the past. And we're doing a lot. We have a peer support teams where we actually reach out to other firefighters, maybe not even within our own department, to kind of help us address some of those needs. I believe that this program has the capability of kind of being that avenue as well by, like Dr. Katzman said, bringing in people from different cities all across the state that are dealing with the same issues. But it's going to be an awareness issue where we accept that that's kind of part of the job. And I think it's becoming more and more obvious. Just recently, I was talking with an individual who was interested in becoming a firefighter, and I kind of explained to them that, you know, it's a long academy, it's stressful, you get yelled at, you got a lot of physical activities, and their response to me was, I'm not worried about the physical aspect of it so much, but I'm scared of getting PTSD. That's the first time I'd ever had anybody present that to me, which is a good thing, I think. You know, people are starting to look at it from a different side. But when it comes to the state of New Mexico, we've had some bills passed this last legislation in 2019 that helps address us with some PTSD issues. And it's actually added to our presumptive cause list. Same with like lung cancer or any other cancers.
What does that mean?
That means if we were to get PTSD, you know, during our time as a firefighter, it's presumed that it would have came from our job. And then hopefully, for the most part, would be covered medically or financially for some of that medical care.
Some of the stories I read, and it was a journal of EMS studies, I believe, was talking about kind of overcoming, just as we saw in the military, kind of people even afraid to speak up and say, hey, I'm not dealing with this well, I need help. And anecdotal stories about like, and then I lost my job, or people said, suck it up. You know?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're working with this program and other avenues to sort of overcome that.
Yeah, we are on the fire side, and speaking with the different hub members, it sounds like they are on their own departments or divisions or jobs or whatever it is they might be doing. I think it's more of a national issue that's being recognized for all lines of services. It's not only a firefighter issue. It's not only an EMS issue. It's military, EMS, police, doctors working in an ER, doctors working in ICU, just all across the field of people working with other people can be quite stressful.
Well, and particularly in New Mexico, we have a lot of issues. We have a very high child abuse rate. I can imagine those are some of the toughest calls people have to deal with.
Yeah, we've had some. So part of the Echo model, Megan, is that the hallmark of the Echo model is cases. So for all of our sessions, we meet every week on the First Responder Echo. What happens is that we will bring a case to the session, and or one of the first responders from anywhere in the state, they will bring a case. And our cases have been very enlightening and have provoked just tremendous conversation well above the 60 minutes. I mean, people want to talk longer and longer. The session goes on for 60 minutes, but we could easily be talking for, 2 hours. Their cases related to, won't bring up exact topics, but a case might be a firefighter that, had some unresolved issues related to going into a house and seeing a child that he could not revive, and it was in a very traumatic circumstance. And in years later, it's still kind of is haunting him. And so he brought that. He was a spoke clinician from one of our rural sites, or a detective from one of the sites came in, and someone that he was working with, working on a case that was also bringing up some issues for him personally, things like that.
So you can sort of start the process of talking through that?
Right.
With them and giving them some tools?
Exactly. So the way our didactics work, so we have both the cases that we talk about with our hub team and the firefighters, paramedics, and law enforcement in the rural communities. And then we have a didactic every session. And so the didactic, it may or may not fall in line with the topic of the case, so the didactic might be related to mental health and psychosis. It might be related to substance abuse. It might be related to depression and suicide. But we try to relate it to both something that the firefighter or paramedic or police officer had a call on that week, that day, that month, but also something that they might be dealing with themselves. So kind of that dual angle, if you will.
And what does a didactic mean?
A didactic means a kind of a evidence-based presentation. It can be a PowerPoint presentation, or it can be simply a subject matter expert kind of giving a presentation to the network, the virtual network.
And how are the participants determined each week?
Anybody who's a first responder in the state can actually sign up through learning about this first responder ECHO by logging into our www.projectecho.com, and our project coordinator, program coordinator Karina Dow can get back to him or her, and we can let them know what that Zoom login is.
Mm-hmm. So they could just, they might not have a case they want to present, or they might, but they could just log in and watch and listen.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, mostly that's what it is. We have the hub team that provides, or is the different providers that present the didactic or the case that's being talked about. And the different departments, they reach out to individuals within their department to kind of pass on the login information it's like a code that you put in for a specific Zoom meeting. And they can log in. We do an introduction where they introduce themselves, and they can respond to any of what we're talking about. They can ask a question about it. They can also, you know, share their own story if there's time. And a lot of that is the time crunch gets a little difficult sometimes if it's a topic we're talking about for a while. You know, a lot of people get talking and, you know, time blows by.
Oh, you also have to get continuing ed credits.
So you automatically get no cost. Yeah, you sign up.
Oh, nice. Okay. No cost, continuing ed credits. And so they need their continuing education units, but they might also just want to hear what ideas for coping with what they may be facing. And
absolutely.
If you just joined us, this is University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. We're talking about the challenges facing first responders, like trauma, PTSD, and depression. A new iteration of the ECHO Telemedicine Program at UNM is connecting responders around the state with colleagues and experts to talk about these issues. My guests are Paramedic Lieutenant Brian Breezewine of the Albuquerque Fire Department and Dr. Joanne Katzman, Medical Director and Senior Associate Director with ECHO Institute. Hey, do you have a sense yet? I know it's still early days. You started about in September 2019. Any impacts or the effects this is having?
So, you know, we got original funding from the New Mexico Department of Health from September through December, and now we have a 2-year funding from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And so we're now hoping to evaluate the program. This is the first of its kind program in the country, this first responder ECHO, although other states are starting ECHOs for law enforcement and paramedics. And we're thinking that other states are going to slowly build off this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been I just wanted to mention the high rates of kind of depression, PTSD. Suicide is very high in law enforcement and fire and physicians and all these kind of professions that we're talking about. And that's something that, you know, we'd like to try to mitigate and something that we'd like to kind of look at very seriously. And in the last 4 months in New York City alone, there's been over 10 suicides in law enforcement. So, you know, it's something that's very significant. But the epidemic of suicide in this country is also escalating as well. So that needs to be looked at closely.
So some other areas are starting to roll out this model for paramedics and police with the same idea with what you're doing, or they're using it for a different purpose?
Right. So ECHO is very prevalent. Every state has multiple different ECHOs. And other states are starting to launch communities of practice for first responders, not necessarily groups of first responders, paramedics, firefighters, and law enforcement. But I believe Denver might have a paramedic ECHO, and I think a state in the South is rolling out a law enforcement ECHO. So I think other states slowly will be starting these first responder ECHOs, particularly related to the high rates of kind of compassion fatigue and burnout seen in these kind of frontline kind of professions.
So you're going to do analysis of
yes.
the efficacy of it. Do you have anecdotal stories or ideas of how people have responded to this, how it's helped maybe open the space to talk about issues like trauma and stress?
For me, I would like to see more people participate and see that, like I said earlier, they're not the only one going through some of these issues, right? There's plenty of people who have the same thoughts, same difficulties, same struggles with dealing with some of these behavioral health issues. We as a department, everybody's getting better at identifying that. But the big thing that we want to do is obviously give them resources to seek help. But the main one is just letting them know they're not alone. We do care and we want to help. I think that would really be the best benefit is from some of our conversations that we've had. Some of the individuals that listened, they may not have told me, you know, that was nice hearing that. But I like to think personally that it is nice hearing that. I like hearing, well, I mean, I don't like hearing people are struggling, but I like hearing that I'm not alone in my struggles.
Lieutenant Breezewine, what are the risks of not addressing these issues for first responders?
I mean, the not addressing those issues would be the same as any other person not addressing some of those depression or PTSD issues. And that's, you know, turning to substances and other vices to get over some of these stresses, or, you know, ultimately could lead to suicide. I mean, suicide rates are higher with EMS and fire personnel and police and military. It's a big part of what we deal with or could deal with. And that's why we're trying to address it early, so we're not, you know, too late to the game.
Well, I will put links to your site on our website at KUNM.org. so people can get more information or participate in it if they want to.
Well, fantastic.
And what if they want to come on and listen and they don't necessarily want to be identified?
Right. So that's a great question, Megan. Most participants, most first responders who first come on to the ECHO First Responder Network do so and don't present cases. They come on and listen. They might not say anything for the first time, or they might chime in and talk and answer a question or perhaps give some feedback. Others might just listen in for the first time or two, and then the next time they might choose to present a case. It's really up to them. Everybody's an individual. But I would really recommend, if you're at all interested, just take a chance, sign up, email our coordinator, and we'll send you the Zoom link. And we have a really robust curriculum. The cases really are very fascinating, and you might get some support and learn, see some members of your community out around the state.
If you're in a small rural area, a lot of people, as our state is, I can imagine that it's even more stressful because you might be one of, I don't know, three people in an area responding to things. And, you know, there aren't a ton of psychotherapists around your community. Can this Can they take tools from this to help? Is it? I mean, it's not the same as perhaps, you know, having a therapist to go to, but can they get those kinds of coping tools?
I agree. It would be difficult for some of these smaller communities that might not have the same amount of resources. But it's important for us to share the resources that we do have. From our side, our department is focused on creating a peer support group, which would involve firefighters from different departments. And I have no doubt that we would be willing to share those numbers with firefighters from other departments all across the state to reach out to individuals that are doing a similar job, mm-hmm. you know, with the similar stresses. When it comes to getting, you know, help from a physician, I can't help on that, but maybe Dr. Katzman could.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Myself and Paige Menkeen, who's the first responder program coordinator and the head of the community health worker program, she and I have been around the state to Alamogordo and Portales and Tucumcari and northern New Mexico, been to many fire and police departments visiting. And I thank you, Lieutenant Paramedic Breezewine, for offering that. And I can tell you that if anybody is in any distress regarding mental health issues, the, you know, UNM Psychiatric Emergency Services or the New Mexico Crisis Line are important phone numbers as well.
I will put those on the website, too.
That would be great.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming and talking about this. I think it's really intriguing. You said ECHO keeps evolving and finding new ways to use this telemedicine model.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
That was Dr. Joanne Katzman, Medical Director and Senior Associate Director with ECHO Institute at UNM, and Paramedic Lieutenant Brian Breezewine of the Albuquerque Fire Department. You can find this interview and all our interviews at KUNM.org. That includes an interview with the founder of Project ECHO, Dr. Sanjeev Arora. Thanks to Associate Professor David Bashwinner for our theme music. I'm Megan Kamrick. Thanks for listening to University Showcase.